DNVR 1050 presents The Soccer Hour. Sponsored by the San Jose Earthquakes and your local NorCal Honda dealers. Now here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Soccer Hour on KMBR 1050, brought to you by your NorCal Honda dealers. I am stoked because we are getting that much closer to the start of the MLS season. And of course, there is a lot of news to get into. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today that we didn't get into last week was the season schedule for the San Jose Earthquakes, just because we had so much reaction to what was going on with the men's national team, the U23s not qualifying for the Olympics. We didn't get to talk about the schedule much, but I do want to get into that a little bit today. And I also want to talk about the big story, right? And that is the fact that the San Jose Earthquakes have a new naming partner, PayPal Park. PayPal signed on. They partnered up with the San Jose Earthquakes, and now we have this new naming deal a decade long with the Quakes and PayPal, which I think is awesome. I think PayPal Park is a great name. People in the Bay Area are saying it is the best name for a sports venue in the Bay Area since the original name of the Giants' new stadium of Pac Bell Park. But yeah, PayPal Park, it just rolls off the tongue. Nice alliteration, and I think overall, it gives you that big corporate partnership that you've long desired for the San Jose Earthquakes and the stadium. Not that there was anything wrong with the previous name rights sponsorship, but that had come to an end, obviously, and you wanted a new name to take over, and it represents a lot for the club. It represents, obviously, in the short term and in the long term, you look at the financials. You also look at what this means for the San Jose Earthquakes and partnering up with PayPal, Venmo, how they're going to be selling food items, how we're moving to a cashless society more and more. I know that I never carry cash, and so that's something that this is going to help my family when they're at the game while I'm doing the broadcast. And we're stoked about this, right? I mean, we can't wait to see everybody walking in, even in limited capacity. And now they're saying June 15th, that's when they're going to reopen the state of California. Obviously, the mask mandate will be in effect. But if that's the case, if we can get back to having a full and packed house, I mean, this is going to be great, everybody. I mean, we're getting back to how it is supposed to be. PayPal Park will be rocking. We'll be out there all together again. And just, you know, think about all the things that we're going to be looking forward to this summer if things are coming back to normal. And I go no further than the Cali Classico and getting everybody back out at Stanford Stadium. And that, if we can do that full capacity, I mean, that's going to be like one of the biggest reunions that we can ever imagine. I mean, just to see everybody at the stadium out there enjoying themselves. I mean, it'll be the most historic Cali Classico ever, regardless of what endings have happened in the past and stoppage time goals and great finishes. Nothing will feel like that Cali Classico if and when we are allowed to have that full capacity this summer and be able just to do what we normally do. And it's something that I'm looking forward to in a way that I cannot possibly express enough. But I did want to also mention that another thing that I'm excited for is that Friday, 2 days from now, the Quakes have a friendly against the Oakland Roots. We will be doing a stream on SJEarthquakes.com. I will have the call for Aria from PayPal Park, and we'll be looking at the Earthquakes and seeing what they got into. I know that a week ago in their scrimmage against Sac Republic, we didn't really get a lot of details. It was closed door. We do know that Cade Cowell, the 17-year-old boy wonder, the chosen one, as I like to call him, he did have a hat trick in that game. So listen, we know he was working on his finishing all year long or all offseason long. And if that's the case now for Cade, if he is able to finish on some of these opportunities, I mean, it's huge. And listen, I know that Sacramento is not an MLS squad per se, but finishing is finishing. Before Wondolowski was ever playing with Major League Soccer starting 11 teams, you know, he was in practice known as finishing. That was what people looked at and they said, God, this guy puts them all into the back of the net. They probably should have realized sooner rather than later to get him out there on the pitch more consistently, but eventually he got out there and he finished and he finished and he finished, and now he's the all-time leading goal scorer. I don't know what the future is going to hold for Cade Cowell. However, I do know that he has been working on that finishing, and to hear him come through with a hat trick in that game and finishing those opportunities, it just builds confidence for him, and it makes you realize and recognize the type of potential that he has. So I hope we see more of that against the Roots on Friday, and I'm just looking forward to getting, you know, the old pipes, getting the rust off the game day pipes, because it's been since, what, November 22nd, since I last got to call a game, and I can't remember the last time we've gone this long without having an Earthquakes game. I mean, it's going to be almost 6 months since I will have done a call. But we're close, everyone. We're close to society returning to normal. We're close to being back in the stadium. We're close to the season starting. Everything is happening in the next few weeks. I did want to hit a couple stories here because we are going to talk to the Earthquakes Director of Strategy, Ian Anderson. He's going to talk about how this naming rights deal with PayPal came to be. But Jackson Ewell was named to the CONCACAF Men's Olympic Qualifying Best 11, which I think just speaks more and more to the growth of Jackson Ewell since he's been able to come over to the San Jose Earthquakes in the 2017 MLS Super Draft. You immediately saw his ability to make passes, but the player that he's developed into and the history that he's had with the men's national team so far, where he's looked like one of the United States' next best great midfielders. And I think we saw that more and more in this men's Olympic qualifying play. Even if the United States did not step up to the occasion overall, Jackson Ewell did. Ewell wearing the captain's armband, going out there, scoring multiple goals. He was the one guy who came through in that disappointing finish against Honduras. Jackson Ewell continues to ball out for the San Jose Earthquakes and for the United States men's national team. And I am looking forward to seeing more and more of Jackson Ewell on the international level representing the United States. I would hope that he gets the opportunity to represent the U.S. In the 2022 World Cup. Obviously, the United States has to qualify for the 2022 World Cup, but overall, I am appreciating and looking at what Jackson Ewell has been able to do in his time here with the San Jose Earthquakes. This is going to be his fifth year with the San Jose Earthquakes, and I think this is going to be his best year with the San Jose Earthquakes. He has never had more experience. He has never had more momentum. He's fit. He's ready. He understands what is being asked of him. I mean, I know there's the concern that the San Jose Earthquakes could lose Jackson Ewell to Europe, but if that's the case, that means that we're doing something right. And that means that Matias Almeida, Jesse Fiorinelli, across the board, they are all doing the right things with this team to maximize performance. And that's a storyline that people have talked about. So, you know, what if Cade goes to Europe? What if Jackson goes to Europe? Good. That means we're developing talent. That means we know how to develop talent. That means we know how to get guys ready for the next level. So I am obviously absolutely stoked for that. But we are going to go out to our phone lines. And we now have joining us on the Soccer Hour here on KMBR 1050, Ian Anderson, the San Jose Earthquakes Vice President of Strategy. Ian, what's going on, man? Big day or big week so far for the San Jose Earthquakes.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. Thanks for having me. Yesterday was a big day, and I think we're all looking forward to getting folks back out to the park, and happy to talk about the deal and what it means for the club.
Before I get into the deal specifically with PayPal and, you know, PayPal Park, I just wanted to briefly touch on your role with the team as a vice president of strategy, because for the last 12 plus months now, I would imagine that every bit of planning that you have put into quote unquote strategy, man, has been thrown out the window, right?
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. So, in my role, I oversee a few different areas of the club, one of which is the commercial side, which are partnerships, like we announced yesterday with PayPal. I also oversee our strategic planning arm and our business intelligence arm. So we have certainly had our hands full over the last year. But I think yesterday's announcement will give us some really, really good momentum moving forward.
Yeah, and for the 30,000-foot view of yesterday's announcement, PayPal Park, they're the new naming partner for the stadium. They purchased the naming rights. From the 30,000-foot view, what else can you tell us about that deal?
Sure thing. And I'm happy to walk you through the process. I think we, as you know, we announced Intermedia as our jersey partner early last year before the start of the 2020 season. Jersey partner, naming rights partner, these are the core club commercial partners that that drive revenue for us and allow us to make investments in other areas of our business. So once we had Intermedia in place, we sort of went to the drawing board and asked ourselves, you know, what would an ideal partner for the stadium look like in 2021? and beyond. And we established a few guiding sort of priorities for finding that partner. The first of which was sort of a commitment to the local community. I think our organization has made it clear that that's a top priority for us as a club. So that was going to clearly be a top priority for us in a partner. Second was technology and solutions that could meaningfully advance sort of the stadium experience for our fans, given our location in the Valley. And then thirdly, I think importantly, you know, a global brand. There are so many global brands in our region. And, you know, having a global brand partner aligns with the global nature of our sport, of our region, as I said, and frankly can help elevate our brand. So in finding PayPal, we sort of felt we checked all of those boxes from a priority perspective.
So when you are going through that process of, you know, figuring out that PayPal is a company that you want to work with, like, I'm sure there's a process where both sides are kind of selling each other on each other, because it's not just of, you know, here, sign the dotted line here and we'll put your sign up there. I'm sure there's a lot more that goes into that, right?
Absolutely. And to be honest, you know, PayPal was one of our first calls, right? When we narrowed that, when we looked at those sort of three priorities and we narrowed a list, we also looked at companies, you know, that were based, you know, in San Jose and that had been particularly successful even through the pandemic. But PayPal was one of the first folks that we talked to. And I actually connected directly with their CEO, Dan Schulman, who said, you know, we are a company that very much cares about our local community. We're proud of our roots in San Jose and we're happy to explore this. And so, you know, the process started from there. We then worked, you know, for a number of months with Dan's team, led by his chief marketing officer. And there was really strong alignment with her and her vision for the partnership. We talked a lot about sort of the art of the possible and being very purpose-driven in our focus around the partnership. And I think at the end of the rainbow, I think all parties sort of feel like we've created something with this partnership that's really unique and impactful. I'm happy to share a bit more about what folks can expect to see with the partnership. But it's really a landmark for our club.
Yeah, but please share what more we can expect. Because I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves, but I did see that they were also going to be the sleeve sponsor on the jersey.
Yeah, so from a branding perspective, for this season, you'll see them on the sleeve of the jersey, supporting Intermedia. And then the stadium signage, which I think we've made sure is out there to be seen. It's really going to be iconic. There's a few new signage locations on the facade of the stadium, which we think will bring sort of a lot of visibility and cool aesthetic to the building. But from a program standpoint, really two sort of components to the partnership that I think will be very visible to folks, technology and community engagement. So I can start on the technology front. Mm-hmm. And I think this was covered a bit in some of the press. But, you know, I think our view and from a strategic perspective with this partnership is that PayPal's technology can help us ensure that our venue is sort of a trendsetter for the industry. At all stadium points of sale, we are currently configuring them to accept Venmo and PayPal as mm-hmm. forms of payment via the QR code, which, you know, many folks are familiar with, and we hope to make even more folks familiar with. And I think, you know, importantly, right, the opportunity to pay in a contactless manner is very helpful today, you know, in our return from COVID. But in the long term, you know, we view, you know, integrating technology in ways that is really core to the fan experience rather than sort of on the fringes of the fan experience to be really important. And we feel like we've achieved that in that, you know, these sorts of transactions that fans do in the stadium, right, buying merchandise, buying food and bev, right, are really core to that experience. And PayPal will really power, you know, and enhance that experience. And so some of the ways that fans will eventually see that play out, in addition to being able to pay with PayPal and Venmo, is we will have speed lanes, what we're calling them, for fans who pay with PayPal and Venmo. So they'll be able to have priority access to a faster checkout. And then we'll also have rewards for fans who, or benefits for fans who choose to pay with PayPal or Venmo. And interestingly, and it's been a great collaboration with the PayPal team and our team internally at the Quakes, but we've sort of taken elements that you might see from rewards programs in other sectors like air travel, credit card, et cetera. And we're hoping to take some of those things and implement them in the rewards program that we create for folks who use PayPal or Venmo when making purchases within the Quake's ecosystem. So on the technology side, that's what folks can expect to see, you know, over time in the partnership. And then on the community side, I think equally importantly, and I know Dan Schulman, you know, made some comments about this, but we really want to make sure that the partnership is something that is beneficial to all members and all constituents of the local community. So a couple mm-hmm. of programs that folks should look out for. We're going to highlight small businesses at each home game. I'm super proud of this. We're going to really focus on telling the stories of the peoples and products of those small businesses in San Jose. So there'll be signage, there'll be social media content, just to bring small businesses that I think many folks in the city and in the community will recognize as places they go on a regular basis. Seeing them profiled at games, we think will be some great content. And then PayPal is committed to bringing folks from all corners of the community out to games and mm-hmm. sit in what they're dubbing the PayPal stand, which will be in the corner, one of the corners at PayPal Park. And importantly, on this one, they're committed actually to literally providing transportation, right, to make that access and that experience that much easier for folks. So, right, it's not just the tickets, right, but it's also the to and the from, just to make sure that, again, everybody in our community can benefit from this partnership.
We are continuing our conversation with Quake's Vice President of Strategy, Ian Anderson, in light of the historic naming rights deal between the San Jose Earthquakes and PayPal, bringing us PayPal Park. You know, when you guys announced this, it was as much about the community as it was in terms of the branding in and of itself. Not that the branding was an afterthought, but it's clear that this was an initiative that goes beyond just the naming of the stadium. And if you could just speak more to that idea of how that community-based ideology became so attached to what this partnership, to me, from what I've seen, really represents.
Absolutely. Well, look, like I said, I mean, I think when we started the discussions, it was about a purpose-driven partnership. And PayPal is, as are the Earthquakes, are very committed to being good stewards in our local community. And so it was sort of a perfect fit in that we have that joint commitment. And as we went through, right, and all of these, you know, naming rights partnerships that you would see in sport and with other venues, right, they have programs that are part of the partnership. And so we wanted to make sure that our core programs reflected that joint commitment that PayPal and the Earthquakes have to serving our local community. And that was from the top down, as we went through the process of building out the programs and the partnership.
Now, for PayPal, I'd imagine that, you know, every time the United States women's national team is here or the men's national team is here, or there are big games that are going to be, you know, nationally televised, whether it's going to be on ESPN or Fox Sports One, or whether it's going to be, you know, on one of the Spanish broadcasting stations, I have to imagine that there is that perspective of having that brand promoted. So when they say, hi, we're coming to you from PayPal Park in San Jose, California. I mean, for them, even though PayPal in and of itself is relatively ubiquitous, off the top of my head, I can't recall them having done a partnership with a team like this, at least in terms of a venue like this before.
Yeah, no, that's true. We were PayPal's first naming rights partnership. I think they're very proud of it, given that it's in their home market. Their headquarters are actually just across the street from the stadium and the airport. But there's no doubt, you know, like I said, we were looking for a global brand to align with our global sport. And I think from their perspective, the opportunity to be aligned with a global sport like soccer, right, and a venue that's going to host not just Earthquakes matches, but international football matches, mm-hmm. the women's national team, obviously, we love having at the stadium, was something that that was very exciting for them. And I think that, you know, the name, you know, the name has, and we've seen a lot of really positive feedback on social media, but the name has a great ring to it when you're talking about global events that might happen at the stadium. You know, PayPal Park and the alliteration, I think, is something that really works well. And it's not always found in these naming rights partnerships where the brand sort of fits very nicely into the actual moniker, into the actual name of the venue.
Yeah, and one of the things that I was going with when I reacted to it is PayPal Stadium. It's almost, if that had been the name, it almost would have been a little bit cold. But PayPal Park, I mean, it does give more of that element of just kind of you're there to have a good time as opposed to it being a monument to what construction could do. Like, because my wife and kids go to the games, obviously, and both my mom and my dad. And, you know, they're there. They go and they hang out by the bar and the kids go, run around in the area behind there and the epicenter and everything that's going on there. And then they're, you know, walking around with friends, hanging out, talking because, you know, my family started in San Jose. It's just the name branding. It really, really works. And that's something that's interesting that people are commenting on. Because usually when one of these comes out, man, it's always people say, oh, I don't like that name. But people are saying, I like this name.
Yeah, no, the reception and the feedback has really been universally positive, which you always hope for in these things. And so we were really pleased with that. And Ted, I will say, in addition to the alliteration, I think from PayPal's perspective, you know, they viewed the experience at the stadium to be very much that of what you would experience in a park. And it was important for them to make that connection that this is a community gathering space. And I think they felt, and we certainly agreed, that the name, you know, PayPal Park would best represent and reflect that. So that's spot on.
So what does it mean for the club? And also what does it mean for PayPal?
Sure. Well, look, for the club, I think I said this in my statement, this is a landmark deal and partnership for us. To be able to, again, find that partner that's committed to the local community, to find that partner that can drive us forward from a technology perspective, and to find a global brand partner like PayPal that can really help elevate our level and our brand is just critical. And to get them to commit for 10 years, you know, as we move, from here towards the 2026 World Cup and all of the positive momentum that I believe our sport has, it's really a historic relationship for the club, and one that I think will allow us to build even more relationships with a lot of the brands in the region that I believe have similar goals right to PayPal in supporting their local community in driving technological change right. And again, many of those brands are global. So I think the deal in and of itself is really important for us, but I think the impact that it has, the cascading impact, will be equally important. And then for PayPal, I think again, they are a company that's very purpose-driven, very focused on giving back to their local community, and finding a partner in us and the Quakes that share in those values, I think was really important for them. Plus the opportunity to use, and I think this word has been used before, but to use our stadium somewhat as a lab for their already world-class technologies from a venue standpoint, to see those implemented today. And then over time, as those technologies evolve, having a venue that's adjacent to their headquarters where they can, you know, constantly bring the newest technologies to bear, I think is something that's really valuable for them and something that I think our fans will get great pleasure in seeing.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I immediately looked at is I am, you know, I never have cash on me. It's just not something that's a part of my life. And so when I read about something like this, and I was born in 82. So like, depending on who you ask, the millennial generation started in 81 or 82. So I'm at the older end of it. But still, I do know that myself and all my friends, it's like we're not carrying cash. And obviously, like, that's been the trend. And so now, like you alluded to, PayPal now has this opportunity to see how more of those trends are going on in front of them. And like you talked about the innovation, I mean, it makes it that much easier. It's like, it's not just that it's a partnership. It's that they're literally across the street. And when they have something that new that they feel that they are ready to try out within the stadium, they literally have the real world market right there.
Absolutely. And look, I think being at the heart of Silicon Valley, and sometimes that's said sort of colloquially, but we literally are. I think we have a great opportunity, to use our venue to showcase, you know, technology and how it can impact the fan experience, how it can impact the way that we run our business. The partnership that we have with Intermedia really transformed, you know, during the pandemic, the way that we operated our business. And now coming out of the pandemic, from the stadium perspective, I think PayPal will do something very similar for the way that we run our events and the way that fans experience Quakes matches.
And I have to imagine for you, now that there are these two landmark deals in place, which you alluded to last year before the pandemic with Intermedia, and now this year with PayPal and the naming rights for PayPal Park, we also now see the return to normal, whatever that looks like. How does that steady things for you and your role with the Earthquakes and what could be coming in the future? Because like I alluded to, you know, the last year has been, you know, strategy. Everything had to drastically change. And I'm sure that you were, you know, it was a learning experience for you. But now things are, again, knock on wood, everything's returning to normal. So is it kind of the sense where, like, you felt like you were able to do all this in the last year? Is it now, let's see what I can do now when we all have relatively stable footing underneath us again?
Absolutely. And I think we're all really excited to get back to the normal and the new normal. And I think, you know, we're already seeing, at least from the corporate side, we're seeing very positive response. And like I said, with the announcement of PayPal and their commitment and their belief in the future, you know, of our club, you know, I certainly feel like, and my team, and I think everyone at the organization feels like we've got great opportunity to bring more folks into the fold. And I mean, you know this, Ted, we're a growth property, we're a growth sport. That's what's really exciting about this. And so, you know, I think we're really excited to getting back to that sort of growth track coming out of COVID. And I think we're excited for the opening match in a couple of weeks.
I'll ask you one last one, just because you are so much more intimately involved in this than I was, because I, you know, I get it from the outside. I'm reading the same press releases as everyone else, even if I, you know, I'm maybe made aware just through various avenues that something's coming up. But is there anything I didn't ask about that maybe you feel should be touched upon, or maybe wasn't touched upon in the press release or the other media that you've seen out there with regards to the naming rights partnership with PayPal and now PayPal Park?
Yeah, sure. Actually, there is one thing, which is, you know, this is maybe is known, right, that these types of partnerships take time, right? So this discussion started in August. It really took us until February to get to a sort of framework of an agreement. So they take a lot of time and effort. And so there are just a lot of people behind the scenes who play a big role in bringing these types of things to reality, whether it's on the negotiating side, coming up with the programs, actually executing the announcement. I hope everybody's gone onto our social channels and had a chance to take a look at the announcement videos, which I think really capture the ethos of the partnership quite well. And so I would just say, you know, these are team efforts, and there's a lot of people behind the scenes who played big roles in making this partnership happen on both the Quake side and the PayPal side. So I'd be remiss if I didn't say that. And share some of the credit.
Well, Ian, man, congratulations so much, man. I know that there was a ton of hard work behind the scenes stuff that you and everybody else with the Earthquakes and PayPal that went on that we will never be able to understand, because we just see the press release on the outside, man. But it's great. The branding that's out there on social media looks really great. Like you talked about with the PayPal Park on the facade of the stadium, it looks awesome, man. And I think everybody, more than anything, Ian, I think we're all excited for coming up in a couple Saturdays when we can say, to at least in limited capacity, but welcome some fans back to PayPal Park as we get going with this 2021 season.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. I'm just as excited as the fans for the opening match and to debut PayPal Park. That sounds really good to say. So I'm excited to see everyone at the stadium.
Again, that was San Jose Earthquakes Vice President of Strategy, Ian Anderson, breaking down everything on PayPal Park. All right, welcome back to the Soccer Hour on KMBR 1050, brought to you by your NorCal Honda dealers. All right, so we wanted to take a look at that season schedule for the San Jose Earthquakes. We already knew that they were going to be starting off April 16th in Houston, taking on the Dynamo before opening up on the 24th at home against FC Dallas. They will also host FC Dallas on Decision Day for the finale on Sunday, November 7th. Now, this is one of the things that's really weird. The San Jose Earthquakes only have one East Coast game this year. That's going to be in Orlando, and that's it. Otherwise, suddenly it's a battle against all the Western teams again. We're going to play the Galaxy three times. You're going to see Seattle three times. Real Salt Lake, you're going to see them three times. Oh, and Portland, you've got three games against them as well. You know who else you got three games against? LAFC. Now, overall, you're going to play five of your first seven matches at home, and then you're going to have to go back out onto the road. After that first stretch of seven games, where five of which are home, the Quakes are going to play eight of their next 10 matches on the road. And actually, it's the first time in the history of the Earthquakes that the team will have to play eight road matches during a stretch of 10 regular season contests. Then the Quakes are going to play seven of their next 10 at home between August 8th and September 29th. And then pretty much it's four on the road and three at home after that to finish up the season. Now, in terms of marquee matchups, as pointed out by the Earthquakes on their press release on sjearthquakes.com, the Earthquakes will be Austin FC's first ever opponent at Q2 Stadium. That's going to be happening Saturday, June 19th. The Quakes will be hosting the Galaxy at Stanford Stadium a week after that on June 26th in the Cali Classico. And LAFC will be in town Saturday, September 25th, before Austin comes to San Jose for the first time ever. But overall, I think you got to feast when you're at home, and when you're on the road, you got to at least plan on going 500. And that's the real test for the San Jose Earthquakes. And we've seen it before where Matias Almeida has been able to do really well over the summer months. In his first year here, the Quakes had a great summer in 2019. It's hard to derive too much from 2020, right? Because the schedule, everything was just so very, very weird. But the Quakes had a good showing in Orlando, and then they had some awful showings once they came back to San Jose and got back to regular play. And that didn't exist in a vacuum, though. The San Jose Earthquakes were dealing with some incredible circumstances, as they were with everybody on the West Coast, and the wildfires, which interrupted training. And when you can't train, when you can't do things as you normally feel that you need to, it's going to impact things. So, you know, I don't know that there aren't going to be more wildfires this summer. It certainly seems like that's the norm here now, but I can't imagine that the pandemic is going to ramp back up to where we are massively shutting down again and the season schedule gets interrupted. We're doing a very good job of handling things in the United States in terms of getting needles into arms, in terms of understanding how to deal with things in sports. But you don't want to look past what's going on with the Vancouver Canucks right now in hockey and how they've had, 17 to 20 players testing positive. They've had to put everything on hold. We're not over this as of yet. This is still very much a reality. Obviously, Toronto FC was dealing with a breakout. That's part of the story as well. I mean, we're going to have to deal with this. It is not over. You just hope. And we even heard President Biden this morning saying that he is bumping up his, what he says will be the ability for every adult in America to get a shot in their arm so things can get back to normal. But for the time being, we have an idea of what the San Jose Earthquakes are lining up in terms of the schedule. And I love that we are playing these, the Western Conference teams heavy. And I know that that's done obviously because they're trying to do things geographically and dealing with the pandemic. And obviously this isn't going to be the format going forward. I imagine it'll be more like it was in 2019 for the 2022 season, but obviously they want to keep things regional, and that's the best way to prevent outbreaks. At least that's how they're looking at it. But I think it will do a lot to develop more of these rivalries between the Western Conference teams. And honestly, I understand that they want to have, the stars from every team go up against each other so that you have the opportunity for Vela to go into NYCFC or for Diego Valeri to go to the New York Red Bulls or for Chris Wondolowski to go into Orlando in this situation. I understand that those things are important for the league, but I also think that, familiarity breeds contempt and it builds passion among fan bases. I mean, you are looking at coming out of this year with multiple games against, key teams in your conference. And after those three games, you're going to hate each other. And I mean that in a, on the field type situation. But for the fans, I think it's going to develop more trash talking, more overall, kind of hatred between the fan bases. And I mean that in an obvious fun way. I'm not trying to be, dramatic. And obviously we've seen fan incidents in the past and we don't want anything of that. But, if you have more of a rivalry between all these teams in the division, I think that just puts you in a situation where you have more to sell and you have more that's on the line and you have multiple times to go up against each other. I'll make my second hockey comparison of this segment. When they've had these series this year, the second game of the series has been usually a little bit more hotly contested. And some of these series, they've had four games consecutively against the opposition. Obviously, nothing like this is going to happen in Major League Soccer, but you do know that familiarity breeds contempt. And I like the idea of a little heat between these guys. And when they see each other for that third time, especially if there's a lot on the line or if previous games left some bad blood, you're going to see things get a little hotter. I think that's good for the league. I think that's good for everyone. Now, over to some CONCACAF Champions League stuff. Great showing by Atlanta United. They were down a man for more than 45 minutes after Brad Guzan was ejected from this one. They got a 1-0 road win at Alajuelense. And I hope I am saying that correctly. But, you know, I've said before, it's always good for Major League Soccer when Atlanta is doing well. And I'm not buying into the Atlanta invented soccer or anything like that. But they have done a very good job of marketing themselves. They have done a very good job of securing their place in this league over the first couple of years. Obviously, Joseph Martinez coming back and being ready to go for them is going to be a huge part of their story over the course of the season. But Atlanta is good for Major League Soccer. And obviously, the continued growth of a guy like Ezequiel Barco, who they spent so much money to acquire, you saw him hitting from the spot, and they got themselves that 1-0 win in leg number one. Now, the other game we are talking about, of course, which is Marathon versus Portland. That one finished in a 2-2 tie. Diego Valeri obviously coming through with some eye-popping highlights out of that one. But again, two good showings on the road for Major League Soccer teams. Now, we've got more games coming up today and tonight by the time that this will be airing. We have Philadelphia going up against Saprissa. We have Leon against Toronto. And then tomorrow, of course, we are going to have Real Esteli against Columbus. I know there has been a lot of talk about a Major League Soccer team needing to win CONCACAF Champions League. I don't think that this year is the year that happens, just because there are no super teams for Major League Soccer in there. And also, everything has been thrown into disarray with the schedule, with the way the offseason is gone, and the fact that it's always a little bit more difficult for Major League Soccer teams. Even if they do get those buys throughout the first part of the tournament, they don't come in fully fit, and they are not battle-tested teams by the time they get into it. But ideally, you would like to see a good showing out of these teams, and I hope they have good showings. And if they tire themselves out before they have to play the rest of the Major League Soccer world, then, you know, that's how it goes. Now, of course, we are all still reeling from the news that Sacramento is no longer happening under the guise of which we thought it was. Now, a new investor might come back to that town and bring them an MLS berth. I don't know. But now there is talk that the NWSL franchise that was going to go to Sacramento now wants to go to San Diego. And there's more talk about San Diego being the next stop for an MLS franchise. I've lived in San Diego. It is not a sports town. They have a great park with the Padres. People don't show up. They had great teams with the Chargers. I guess people kind of showed up, but that is a destination city where people are coming from all over the world for the colleges, and that is where people are coming from all over the world from the military. And there's nothing wrong with that being the basis of the city, but it doesn't seem like it's the place where people are born and raised and really grow the overall sports identity of the area. It never seemed like I ran into a lot of diehard Padres fans or a lot of diehard Chargers fans. It just seemed like there were people who were coming from all over the country and representing their own team and like to go out to the Padres and Chargers games, but didn't have the same identity for the town as I've seen elsewhere where I have lived. I mean, when you go walk around San Jose, you'll see a lot of Sharks hats. You'll see a lot of Quakes hats. You go around San Francisco, see the Giants, see the Niners, see the Warriors, Oakland, you're going to see the A's. It felt like those teams are a big part of the identity of the area, whereas with San Diego, it's not. And I think it would be a mistake to go to San Diego. And listen, I've lived in San Diego. I think it's a great town. I just don't think it is a good sports town. And that's something that has to be taken into consideration. And I still think that's why Major League Soccer should try and figure something out with Sacramento, because it's one of those perfect markets. It's very similar to Portland. Not much other competition, right? Portland, there's the Trailblazers. Sacramento, there's the Kings. Not a whole lot else going on. And so you maximize what you can have. I mean, the Bay Area, obviously, we got a lot of people here, but there's six professional top-tier teams. A's, Giants, Niners, Warriors, Sharks, Earthquakes. Everybody is competing against each other, and you still have a whole hell of a lot of Raiders fans who lived in this area as well. You combine all that competition with the concerts, with the food, with the arts and culture, people are going to find a way to spend their money here, so you've got to be good. Compare that to a place like Portland or Sacramento, where there aren't as many places for entertainment, and you have a better opportunity to build those fan bases. San Diego, you have a million things you can do. Even if there aren't that many sports teams down there, there are the Padres right now and the Gulls. Don't forget your Gulls. But it doesn't feel like a sports town. That said, I could be wrong with that take because you do have a very large Hispanic community in Southern California, many of whom come from countries where soccer is much, much bigger and it is the focal point of their sporting culture. Is that enough to get people to fill up the stands and get people wearing the hats and the merchandise and making it feel like not just an MLS franchise, but also an NWSL franchise would thrive in the area? I don't know the answer to that question. I haven't looked at the population density or the market habits of San Diego that closely. I can only go from my own experience living there, which did not make me feel like it was a great sports town. Before we finish up, I want to remind you again that we will be doing a stream of Friday's friendly, preseason friendly against the Roots from PayPal Park. I know that we are very much looking forward to seeing what the Earthquakes can do during the regular season, and this is going to be their last tune-up before the regular season does begin. And in terms of what I'm looking for, I just want to see how much cohesion there is building from the back, playing the long ball, what the Earthquakes are really going to look like in terms of flexing and kind of going in and out of formations and how much man marking there is versus zonal marking. I think that we got a lot of looks at the San Jose Earthquakes last year over many, many different months in different scenarios, viruses, wildfires. There was a lot going on, obviously. But I think that you want to get an idea of what the Earthquakes are going to look like. And they had a good showing against Sac Republic. And obviously, it's a USL team. You can only take so much away from that. But you also want to see them look good against the Roots. Again, USL team, there's only so much you can take away. But the Roots have put together a good roster with capable players. And you want to see how the Earthquakes go against them. Because you know that those guys on the Roots, they want to show themselves and have a quality showing. And there's guys out there fighting for roster spots or fighting for spot at starting spots. I mean, there's always going to be more on the line in a preseason friendly than maybe anybody ever wants to acknowledge. But that is going to be, again, on sjearthquakes.com. That'll be 10 o'clock on Friday morning. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of the Soccer Hour, brought to you by your NorCal Honda dealers. I will see you all Friday at 10 on sjearthquakes.com for the friendly against the Roots. For the San Jose Earthquakes, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This has been the Soccer Hour with Ted Ramey, sponsored by the San Jose Earthquakes and your local NorCal Honda dealers on KNBR 1050, sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.